Oh. To the Lamb, unto the King. thousands of people who have set themselves against me. I am not afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me.
He will rule.
So bow before
him.
And praise his name.
Lord.
In all I do, you're always there to see me through. I can't get by unless I lean on you, Lord.
The Lord has a way.
Seat or a piece of concrete, not really a chair. My name is Michael McCoy, and I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
I am weak without Him. I am a child of the King with Him. Told you a lot of stories from here. And this is my family session. I don't know if y'all know that, but this is the McCoy's session. Before I was the director here, we taught here, and our kids were pre-campers here, and itty-bitties here. So I've told you a lot of stories, usually about other people. I want to tell you a story about us. February 24th, 2019, Jan and I drove Zane to the airport. And we put him on a plane to China to go tell people about Jesus, tell people about, teach high school kids about other stuff too. But the ultimate goal was to show them Jesus Christ. And I'm not telling you that I have this strong, incredible faith. I want to tell you, though, that as I watched him go up the escalator, that crazy thing, anyway. I knew that might be the last time I see him on earth. And y'all are going, Michael, you're crazy. You're right, I'm crazy. I am crazy, all about Jesus, and I believe that he's preparing us a place. About five or six, I don't know, a few days after Zane flew away to China, I was listening to Christian radio, and on the radio it came up, and they said they were given news. And a Providence in China, the officials had offered a $15,000 reward to report on Christians. And I had just sent my son there. And you're sitting in a room worshiping God, pretending that we have to hide here. Like that's something that we had to do 2,000 years ago. And I want to tell you, your brothers and sisters all over the world are having to hide to worship God. And they're doing it by the millions.
Amen.
Because they are okay with going on to be with God.
Yeah.
Because to live is Christ and to die is Christ. Say it again. To live is Christ and to die is Man, I hope you believe that someday. If you don't believe it now. Yeah. I would rather see Zane again in heaven than see him all his life and him not go there. I don't know if that's weird to say, but I'm a weird Christian. And God called me to be that. I love you guys. I am fired up about the guy behind me that's about to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, right.
Love me some Kevin Schaefer. Amen, you guys?
Yeah.
I'm going to get him up here and pray over him. And I know he's already got your attention because you guys love to sing. But I want you to tell you, he's going to share his heart with you tonight. And I just pray you'll listen. I don't care how numb your hiney is or whatever. Just listen. Listen to this man's heart. Let's pray. God, we love you. And I thank you that we're here right now, right here. Lord, it's a blessing. Favorite place of most of these people to worship you is right in this room tonight. It ain't going to be nothing on worshiping you in heaven. Man, we have early Christian worship every night if we want it. I'm thankful, Lord, for Kevin, for his heart, for his friendship, for his passion to worship you. Lord, I pray you'll be with him tonight as he shares his heart with us. Bless him. We love you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Can't see my notes. I may need to do this. I told y'all today I was nervous, and that's okay. And it's funny because I can sing in front of a huge crowd of people and not be nervous, but when I speak, I get nervous. So just give me a moment. Okay. I really enjoyed Will's lesson the other night, and I appreciated so much. He started off talking about what our life is supposed to be like in Christ. And I know that your Bible teachers and your counselors have also been telling you, this is what your life is to be like in Christ. And I love that. I also know that there are other voices that are loud, that are coming from every direction, that are also saying, this is what your life is supposed to be like. And it's deafening. And it's noisy. So tonight I want to share with you what your life is not supposed to be like. Your life was not meant to go viral. Our world seems to be obsessed with everything that you can click on, that you can post, that you can like, that you can view, that you can follow, that you can subscribe to, and even things called streaks. And I'm afraid that what we've done is we're redefining what success is, and it breaks my heart. Because used to success was, I have a goal, I'm going to work for it, and I'm going to be successful. Now it's like, if I get enough likes, I must be successful. Or if I get enough views, I must be okay. But then the reverse also happens. Because it also means that if I don't get enough likes, and if I don't get enough views, I must be a nobody. And that's simply not true. And it's sad to me because there's people who are actually having anxiety attacks, who are going through depression because they didn't get enough likes on a video or on a post on Instagram. I mean, it's becoming a physical problem for people. And so their whole lives are wrapped up in, can I get one more like, one more view? And it's just so frustrating to me because I actually even see this in my kids. My son, he follows YouTube guys and this and that, and I can't really keep up with him, but he was telling me that this one YouTube guy had 10 million viewers, and he's like the number one guy, and then he messed up and did something, and now he only has 5 million viewers. Oh no! You know exactly what I was talking about! Thank you. But he's obsessed with it, right? I mean, he's like, oh no, this guy's life is over. And I said, oh, so sad that 5 million people still like him, you know. And so my daughter, she's on, and don't judge me. She has Snapchat. Okay, I heard judging. And those of you who don't know much about Snapchat, you simply take pictures and send it to your friends. There's not a whole lot of conversation. It's a picture of your foot, the side of your face, the ceiling fan, your food, your dog. Not a word is exchanged in this conversation. And she just does this all the time. And in fact, it's really frustrated me because her homework, which would take only an hour, now takes three. 3 hours because she has to Snapchat. This is what my math problem. This is the side of my face. You know, hey, here's my dad. You do the same thing. But there's also this other thing called streaks, right? And so if you can converse or Snapchat somebody for more than a day, it's considered a streak. And she's got some streaks that are 300 and 400 days long. And what's sad to me is that she actually gets anxious when she comes to Blue Haven. And she's actually giving her password to friends who will come to Blue Haven so they can keep her streaks. And some of you did the same thing. And I think what's happening is that she thinks, and you could think this too, if I break my streak, that person must think I'm a bad person. Or I'm not a good enough friend, or I didn't think about them today. And I think what's happening is our brains are being rewired on what's important. Whoa. And what's valuable. Your life was not meant to go viral. Your life was also not meant to be edited. I work at a church, and I get to edit videos every once in a while. And so I'll interview somebody for 30, 45 minutes. One guy interviewed for an hour. But we can't show the whole hour in church, so I have to edit. I have to take apart all the stuff that I don't want to be said and put it into a 2.5 to 3 minute, preferably 1.5 minute video of exactly what I want him or her to say. And editing's not bad, but it's also very misleading because I leave out a lot of his story. And I actually get to control what's said by the end of the story. And I can take the same interview and I can edit it 5 or 6 different ways and give you 5 or 6 different versions of his story, depending on what I want you to hear. And what you're seeing on the internet and on Instagram is life that's been edited. So, for example, on YouTube, there's a guy named Dude Perfect. Yeah! You know, and so he does these crazy stunts, and they happen every time. He'll take a ping pong ball and throw it amongst 15 chairs, and it lands into a cup. He'll take a basketball and throw it clear across the stands, and it makes it. He's got one video where he's like a five-story building and takes a basketball and throws it in, and it makes it every time, the first time. You're right. It's been edited. How many times did he throw that basketball into that hoop before it made it? But you don't get to see those. It could have been 25 times. They do research on airflow and how, what angle and how hard you need to throw it. And then they video it over and over and over. And when they finally get it in, they're like, yeah, I did it first time. It's edited. And everything you see is edited. Every magazine cover that you see is edited to their skin tone, to their flawless clean skin. They enlarge their eyes just a little bit. They change the color. They straighten this out. And it's perfect. And that's so hard to live up to. Our lives aren't meant to be perfect. They're difficult. They're hard. They're rough. Life is raw. And so when we start seeing people who live these perfect lives, even on Instagram, we think, what's wrong with me? Because I'm truly messed up. Something's wrong with my life because me and my dad got into a fight. Me and my mom argue. My parents argue. Or I'm caught in a relationship. But and nobody else has that problem because everybody else's life is perfect. And even when you come up here to Blue Haven, you're seeing an edited version of everyone's life. And so you're like, man, that person's kind of cool. But it's edited. And for example, my life. And Michael, I wasn't going to do this, but thank you for doing this, but my life, you're seeing an edited version. So my edited version of my life is this. I sang in a professional singing group for 6 years. I recorded over 40 albums. I started another group and we've successfully launched an album. I've been to Germany, Switzerland, France, South Africa, China. I've been to Canada, 40, all but one state in the United States. I've sung in Brazil. I have over 1,700 followers and 79 more who want to be my follower on Facebook. There's guys in Brazil who've actually redid their beards to look like mine. Yeah, that's creepy. I met my wife on a cruise to the Bahamas. I have 3 great children. That's my life that's been edited. My life is rough, and it's raw. I'm not saying this to get sympathy from you. I'm not saying this to get hugs later. I'm just simply saying life is real. And when you don't realize that life is real, when your life is in the raw, you feel so alone. But I struggle with the relationship with my son. We argue all the time. I don't get him. He's this 14-year-old brat. And it's all about him. And he picks on his little sister. And I don't get it because that's not my personality. And we go round and round, and I ask him to do something. He's like, no, Dad, I'm not going to. I'm like, you're better. You know, and it's hard. I suffer from depression. It's a struggle for me. Most of the time, strange as it sounds, it's chemical depression. Last year, from mid-May to mid-September, I really struggled just to put my foot forward every day. It was hard. It's like I lived in a fog. It ended up being a medicine that I was on. And after I got off the medicine, I was me again. It's the weirdest thing. In November, my dad had a heart attack, almost lost him. But in the process of that, we found out he has prostate cancer and it's gotten into his bones. And we don't know when that's going to happen. My dad doesn't want to seek any more treatment. He doesn't want to seek any more diagnosis. He just wants to live out his remaining days because he knows where he's going to be when he's done. The other reason my dad struggled with too is during right after my dad's heart attack, we just really struggled with what to do with my mom if my dad did die. Because honestly, my mom wasn't in great health. She wasn't horribly unhealthy, but she just wasn't able to walk, and my dad had to take care of her. But if my dad couldn't take care of her anymore, we were going to have to put her in a home. That was a real struggle. My mom passed away 2 months ago. That's life unedited. It's raw. It's real. But I can stand before you. Because I know the author of life. And he doesn't edit my life. He rewrites it. My mom, I know where she's at. She's found a really nice lake, and she's sitting and she's fishing. She's just catching the biggest catfish she's ever caught. She hasn't fished in 50 years. She's loving it. And you know what? I can imagine Jesus sitting right next to her, because Jesus likes fishermen. My dad, his faith is stronger than it's ever been. And he's looking forward to the day when he gets to see his wife again. And when he gets to be with Jesus. And why? Because he knows the author of his life. See, your life was not meant to be edited. Your life wasn't also meant to be full of so much noise. From earbuds to headphones to iTunes to YouTube to Pandora to Instagram to Snapchat to binge watching on Hulu or Netflix. That's just a lot of noise. Amen. Amen. And it's drowning out God's voice. One thing that our church has been doing and experimenting with and trying to explore more is what's called spiritual disciplines. And these are just ways to help your spirit and help you to get closer to God. You know, if you're going to maybe go do a marathon, which that's not ever been a dream of mine. So, but if you ever go to do a marathon, you're going to train and you're going to do that every day. You're going to discipline yourself every day. And you know, if you slack off one day, it's going to hurt you in the long run. Well, spiritual disciplines are very, very similar to that. They're simply a means to help you get closer to God. Reading your Bible is a spiritual discipline. And some days you just don't want to feel like it, but man, it's good for you. But it's a discipline. It could be, you might just read your Bible once a week. That may be all you can discipline yourself to do, but it's a discipline. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. It's so good for you to sit down and have a talk with God, to share your heart. It's a spiritual discipline. Another spiritual discipline is really just going to church. And sometimes you just don't feel like it. Like, I don't want to go, but I'm going to. And when you get there, you realize you're the better for it. And so are the people around you. And I even think that I can even say that worship is a spiritual discipline. Because there's times in your life you just don't feel like worship. And it's hard. But when you do, and you say, okay, God, you've got this. I'm going to worship you in spite of the rawness of my life. It's good. Amen. So the spiritual discipline that we've been working with a little bit more is called silence and solitude. It's simply disconnecting from the world for a little bit and being silent before God. You know, there's a really small scripture. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. So I wanted to practice that for just a moment to kind of give you an idea of what that feels like. So for 1 minute, we're just going to be still and quiet. And I want you just to allow God to wash over you for just 1 minute. When the timer goes off, we'll continue. felt really long. That was just 1 minute. Now, it's interesting. The first time that I had a chance to experience silent solitude, I went on a retreat that was designed to kind of share this with the group that I was with. And they said, okay, so we want you to go out and we want you to find a spot. It was a camp similar to this. And be by yourself and you get 2 hours. We want you to be silent and just be still. 2 hours. For the first hour and a half, I wasn't silent. I wasn't still. The noise of the world was still just bombarding me. I kept thinking, okay, I've got all the stuff I need to do. What about tomorrow? I just had a fight with my son a couple of days ago. How am I going to deal with some situations at school? And it was just like bombarding. I was like, okay, I need to be still. I was like, yeah, but I didn't have my Bible with me, and I really should have been reading Scripture because, you know, God loves me more when I'm reading my Scripture. And then I thought, well, okay, I don't have that, so I'll just be still. Okay, what about prayer? I need to pray. And they said, you know, don't worry about praying at this point. Just be still. And that was so hard. And about 10 minutes before we were done, before that 2 hours was up, I was finally still. And I got to sit in the comfort of God. And it wasn't earth-shattering. It wasn't like flipped my world upside down. It was just a peace I had never really felt before. See, I struggle with, how do I put this? I do not struggle with the fact that God loves me. I don't struggle with that at all. I struggle with the thought that God maybe is disappointed in me. Maybe he's not as proud of me, or maybe because I'm not always sure that I'm not doing enough for him, or that I didn't do this other thing that maybe he wanted me to do, or I don't read my Bible every day like I need to, or I'm not praying as often as so-and-so does. But in that few moments of being still, God said, I'm okay, and you're okay. And it was interesting because that afternoon we did it again, and this time we had 4 hours to be still. And I approached it a little bit differently. I just sat and I had an opportunity to kind of look over this landscape, and it was just beautiful. And I saw this eagle pass by, or a vulture, I don't know. And but it's beautiful, you know, just floating on the winds. I saw a cloud in the background kind of go past these mesas, and I just enjoyed it. I didn't have an agenda. I even took a nap. You know, I was tired. And I laid down on the bench that I was on and just then fell asleep. And I woke up. You know, and I was okay with that. And you know what? God was okay with that. Because he let me rest in him. And I started hearing God say, I love you no matter what. And it's okay. I've got this. You know, your son you're so worried about. You're not going to save him. I am. You know that situation that you're dealing with here and there? I've got that covered. And to be able to hear God say that, even just on the whispers of the wind, was so good for me. And I finally understood that God loves me for me. Now, does he want me to change some ways? Yeah. But he wants to do it with love. He wants to say, hey, I've got a better path for you. Try this. So what I want to do is I want to take one more minute. And I want you to listen to see if you can hear God differently. You're my child. I love you. I forgive you. I chose you. It's okay. I've got it covered. You're mine. love you. Just be still. And know that I am God. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Feels good to hear God and not have to do and not have to be except for be still and let Him hold you and take you by the hand, because His ways are higher than our ways. And when we find a way to be still the noise, we can finally hear that. I actually think we're afraid of the silence. We're afraid of being quiet because of all the other voices. Mm-hmm. The voices that I heard in my head was me. I mean, I'm bringing stuff back up in my head that I did in college. I'm like, that's stupid. God forgives that. God forgave it long time ago. And when I'm finally still enough, God says, I love you for who you are. And I've got such a better way for you to live. So I hope that when you go home, that you'll realize that your lives don't have to be viral, that you don't have to be ruled by how many likes you get, or how many followers, or how many Instagram clicks that people like of yours. I hope you realize it's okay to live a life that's not edited. It's not perfect. And I really hope that you can find people you can share your life with, because you'll find out pretty soon that you're not the only one. You know, when I take classes at church about parenting, and where several of us who have 14-year-old sons get together, we realize they're all alike. And it's hard, because when I come to camp and I see young men that I admire, and I'm like, I want my son to be like that. And I think it's my fault he's not. But God says, you know what? I got this. I got your son. Stop worrying so much about him. You know, there's a song that we started singing last couple of days. And I kind of want you. You can't sing. And so I thought it would be a great way to end. But I wanted to review the words with you. The basis, the foundation, your words are simple. Well, it is well. It is well with me. And I can say that in my last year, you know, when I was going through my depression and I couldn't tell you why and it was dark, I knew it was well because I trust God. And I tell you, I suffer from depression. This is not the first time. But every time I go and I get in that spot and I don't know what's going on, there is several things that I remember. I remember one thing, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He's my Savior. Amen. And that's all I can cling to. And sometimes that's all I have. But I am well with it. Man, it's tough seeing my dad go through this. But I'm okay with it. Because see, I have a hope in a God who's rewritten my dad's story, who's written my mom's name in the book of life. And I will see her again. And when my dad finishes his race, he will see her again. And when I finish mine, I can see them again. You know, I get to go to funerals all the time, and people who don't have God, I don't see how they survive because of the hope that I have. And I don't know. I just don't understand it. Tenors, your line. Kingdoms come and kingdoms fade, but always you remain the same. And ages come and ages go and ages pass and ages change, and you always remain the same. No matter what goes on in your life, no matter if you get likes or no likes, views or no views or whatever, when your life is completely torn apart, your family's completely torn apart, God does not change. And when you feel unlovable, His love does not change. Altos. Woo! talked about silence and solitude, and this is the verse. This is the second verse of the song. And this is what you say in silence and solitude, right? This are the voices in your head. I've been hiding, afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You find me here at your feet again. Everything I am, I'm reaching out in surrender. Come sweep me up in your love again. My soul will dance on the wings of forever. Because I'm being still and I know. And sopranos, I'm not even sure how to add to your verses, but you plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be?
Well, it is well. It is well. It is well with me. It is well. It is well. It is well with me.
Kingdoms come and kingdoms fade, but always you remain. Ages pass and seasons change, but always you remain the same. You find me here at your feet again.
Better.
And in your eyes there's only grace.